You are all that we need. You're all that we ever needed. You are more than enough. You are sufficient. You are God all by yourself. No one voted you to be God. You are God before the world began. You continue to be God today. And you will be God forever. We bless you this morning. We honor you this morning. We worship you. We adore you and we praise you. Thank you for the fifth month of this year. Thank you for the journey so far. Thank you that in the midst of all that is going on, you have preserved everyone in this house. Lord, I will be foolish not to say to you the glory, the honor, the power, the majesty, the adoration, the thanksgiving. It all belongs to you. You alone who have loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you for being Ebenezer, God who has brought us this far. We worship you for your kindness, your goodness, and your grace. As we look into the perfect law of liberty, speak to us, speak to us, speak to us. Holy Spirit, as we dive into understanding your person, your grace, your anointing, your power, as it relates to fruitfulness, illuminate our mind. Oh Lord, bring forth revelations and understanding that our heart be inspired to believe that in spite of all that is going on, we are called to be fruitful. Thank you, even as you glorify your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout a believing amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus. We thank God for the opportunity of gathering in the formats that we are, via Facebook Live and every other media format. We want to thank God this morning, for this is the day that the Lord has made. It becomes a choice to rejoice in it, because it is only you who can decide the kind of feelings that you carry day by day. Circumstances are given to come, but what you do with them is absolutely your decision. And this morning, as we go into the word of the Lord, I encourage you, please take notes. This is the beginning of a new series. Get the CDs. And please, I encourage you, those of you who are of this house, to constantly go back and listen again and again. For faith comes by hearing, and the hearing of the word of God. No man can ever excel beyond the understanding of God that he or she has. You can never prosper beyond the exposure and the illumination that you have gleaned from the word of God. Your prosperity, your success, your breakthroughs in life are tied to the grace of the word of God that is operational in your life. Therefore, when we fail to become a people of the word, when we fail to become a people of the spirit, failure is inevitable. We will fall. And in oftentimes when we fail, we blame God. No, God is not responsible. For he has given you all things. He has given you and I all things. We have received all things. And success is our birthright in every sphere of it. Hallelujah. John chapter 15 from verse 1 to 7 is our key scripture. But in this month of May, we are considering the Holy Spirit and fruitfulness. We want to understand the person of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the grace of the Holy Spirit, the authority, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit as it relates to fruitfulness. We've come to recognize what fruitfulness is. Ability to understand what your purpose is. And align your life with the will of God. In so much so that your life become an influence. That your life become that which influences all the people to greatness. You become a channel by which people realize their destiny. That is fruitfulness. The fulfillment of the divine mandate upon your life. Being a vessel that is yielded unto God, to the Holy Spirit, by whom and through whom the purposes of God are accomplished on earth. That is fruitfulness. Realizing kingdom inheritance. Becoming one who fulfills the mandate of God. That when you stand like Paul stood, you can say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my race. And what is left for me now is the crown of glory, which God will give to me and to everyone else who have sown wrong. That is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is the maximization of the giftings, the talents, and the grace that God has given to you. That is fruitfulness. When you use this grace, when you use these giftings, when you use these talents to the betterment of humanity and to the service of God, that is being fruitful. It therefore becomes an act of unfruitfulness, an act of unfruitfulness when you hold back the grace of God upon your life. When you do not use the giftings of God in your life, you are fruitful. When you do not employ the grace of God upon your life, you are unfruitful. When you know what is required to do to make the kingdom of God better here on earth, and you hold back, you are unfruitful. And Jesus says in John chapter 15, not my words, any branch in me that do not bear fruit, it will be cut out. Therefore, your relevance and the continuity of the outpouring of the grace of God upon your life is contingent on your fruitfulness. Your relevance in the kingdom of God and the continuity of God pouring his grace into your life, pouring his anointing upon you, pouring his resources upon you, they are dependent on your fruitfulness. God cannot continue to give you when you are not using it. So those who are fruitful will flourish. Those who are fruitful will receive more. Those who are fruitful will abound unto greater grace. Know who you are. Know why you're in the kingdom for such a time as this. Every day you pray that prayer as our prayer focus. And I'm wondering how many of us have really taken time to understand what it means. We just say things in this church. We've gotten used to saying things, but not understanding what it means, neither vigorously and intentionally pursuing it. Therefore, don't blame God. Our failure is our choice. I want to say that again. Our failure is our choice. My failure is my choice. I do not fail because the devil is powerful. I fail because I choose to fail. Everything that I require to succeed, God has given to me. Amen. And as we study and expound on the person of the Holy Spirit, you will find out that the greatest asset, the greatest resource, the greatest grace is in you. Many a times we are looking outside there, but it is in us. It is in us. We are not really maximizing to the fullness this grace that is in us. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. I'm not going to read it because of time, but you've read that over and again. But flip to chapter 16, verse 12 through 15. Chapter 16 is a foundational scripture that we'll be considering in this series. John chapter 16, verse 12 through 15 is a continuation of the discussion of Jesus from John chapter 13, where he washed the feet of the disciples, to John chapter 14, where he spoke to them about the troubles that they're going to face. John chapter 15, he spoke to them about fruitfulness. John chapter 16, he began to speak to them about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 17, he prayed for you and I. So in John chapter 16, verse 12, which is a scripture we've read in this church, I think some years ago, time and again, for those of you who still remember, There is so much more I want to tell you. This is Jesus speaking in verse 12. But you cannot bear them now. You cannot understand them now. I want you to mark that verse. There is so much I want to tell you about fruitfulness, but you cannot understand them now. But there is somebody who is coming. When he comes, everything you want to know about being fruitful, he will tell you. Are you with me? Get that in your mind. There is so much I want to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He has heard. He will tell you about the future, things to come. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he received from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I say the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Now, mark the tense of those words. They are in present continuous tense. Whatever he receives, he will tell you. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is God. Let's establish that. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not power. The Holy Spirit is not anointing. The Holy Spirit is God, the Spirit. And in the economy of God and in the structure of redemption, the Father is the one who initiated redemption. The Son executed it. The Holy Spirit has come to consummate it. The Holy Spirit is the one who is consummating. The word consummation is bringing it to completion and to perfection and to finishing. He is the one right now among us here on earth that is working out the purposes of heaven in your life, for your life, through your life. So Jesus says here that he will come, and he has come. And when he comes, because there were so many things that Jesus needed to say, but we in that sense had no capacity of retaining or understanding. So the Holy Spirit comes to empower you with capacities. Capacities for success. Capacity for forgiveness. Capacity for illumination and wisdom. Capacity to walk in power and in authority. He comes to reveal to you the mind of God. He comes to tell you about things to come. In other words, your fruitfulness in life is tied to your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Those who fail to relate with the Holy Spirit will never be fruitful. For he is God who today is at work, making it all possible for you and I. You need to recognize that. That in every sphere of fruitfulness, financially, relational, emotional, mental, intellectual, in every sphere, spiritual fruitfulness, in every sphere of this fruitfulness, the Holy Spirit is the catalyst that works out by the power and the grace and the anointing of his person all that God desires for your life. Hallelujah. And you need to recognize that it is an undeniable truth that God the Father and Christ our Lord desires above all things that you be fruitful. Don't question that. God wants you to be fruitful. It is the plan of God. It is the will of God. Hallelujah. And he has demonstrated this by all that the Father has put in place in order for you to be fruitful. How do you know somebody wants you to succeed? It is the things the person has prepared and put in place for your success. You want your children to succeed? You prepare yourself and you're training them in school. Some of you are spending a whole bunch of money to put your children through school. You are doing all your staying awake at night. You are making preparation because of your intent. You are putting things in place because of your intent. So how do I know someone wants me to succeed? It is by the things the person has put in place to empower me to succeed. And we see that all the Father has put in place. The first thing he put in place was the pronouncement of the mandate of fruitfulness. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, our key scripture, he said, be fruitful. It was a pronouncement, an empowerment unto fruitfulness. If he didn't want you to succeed, he will not empower you to be fruitful. He will not pronounce you to be fruitful. That was the first thing we see, that God has pronounced and bestowed upon us the authority, the mandate for fruitfulness. Number two, we see the sacrifice of Jesus. This sacrifice not only ensured our fruitfulness, but it granted us access and gave us inheritance. The sacrifice of Jesus granted us access into the very presence of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 23. Hebrews 10, 19 through 23. Therefore, come boldly into the very presence of God, that you may obtain grace and find help in times of need. Jesus sacrificed himself that you may be fruitful. And he gave you access to the very throne of God. He empowered you and also gave you inheritance. Hello? Number three, we see the preparation of heaven for our fruitfulness by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. By the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says to them, as the Father have sent me, so have I sent you. I'm sending you to be fruitful in the manner that I've been fruitful. But tarry ye at Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. I will pray the Father and he will send you the Holy Spirit. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, who is God with us and in us, by whose grace, power, and authority at work in you, enables you to bear fruit that are pleasing to God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. These are the fruits that the Holy Spirit produces in you. Galatians chapter 5. These are the fruits that the Holy Spirit produces in you. I want you to think about it. Think about it. Think about it that you were empowered. We messed it. Jesus came and ratified it. Not only did he ratify it, he gave you access and he gave you inheritance. As though that's not enough, the Holy Spirit comes down to produce the capacity within you to be fruitful. So when you sit back, and often we say, I cannot do this. Is it really the truth, or we choose not to apply ourselves? These are the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in you. These are the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in you. Love, kindness, faithfulness, long-suffering, patience. And the list goes on. So every child of God is empowered to be fruitful. But not every child of God truly is fruitful. Hallelujah. Therefore, to the believer, the idea of unfruitfulness is and should be a strange thing for all that are required, for a life of fruitfulness has been given to you. Failure is not your portion. I didn't hear your amen. I say failure is not your portion. Those of you young people who are here and those who are listening, failure is not your portion. Because the capacity to do all things is within you. This is not story. This is truth. Because the Bible have recorded it and we have contemporary evidences of people whom God have raised from nothing. Of people who have arisen to greatness by the workings and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So don't sit back there and allow your background to continue to define you. Don't sit back there and allow the past to continue to define you. Don't sit down there and allow everything that happened in your life to continue to define how far you can go. Don't be conditioned by your environment. Break out. The chains are broken. You are empowered to succeed. You can have a meaningful relationship with people. You don't need to be always an antagonistic person. You don't need to be one who, whenever you walk in, people want to walk out. The capacity to transform is within you. You can succeed financially. You don't need to be reckless with your money and your resources. The Holy Spirit is called a teacher, a guide, a counselor. Come on, use him. Use him. Use his work. Use his grace. You can succeed maritally, relationally. You can succeed intellectually. He's called the Spirit of Wisdom. Everything you want to know, he knows it. Some of us went through school by the help of the Holy Spirit because he showed us where to read. Read there, prepare this, and when you walked into the exam, exactly that was what came out. When you depend on him, you cannot fail. But it requires a relationship. It requires a relationship. Intimacy is the key to relationship that leads to fruitfulness. Intimacy is the key to relationship that leads to fruitfulness. If you're not intimate with somebody, you can never be fruitful with that person. Hallelujah. Failure is a choice. It's a decision. I say failure is a choice. It is a decision. Hallelujah. So in view of all this, as believers, we must now arise to understand the necessity of fruitfulness. For in our fruitfulness, the Father is glorified. Jesus says, when you're fruitful, I am glorified. He said, this we glory. You know, many people are saying, what can I do to glorify God in my life? Be fruitful. How can I glorify God in my life? Be fruitful. That's it. That's how you glorify God. Be fruitful. Hallelujah. Be fruitful. So we see in John chapter 16 where we read from verse 12 to 15 the necessity of fruitfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It requires the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 2 verse 28. And it shall come to pass in those days, in the latter days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit, Joel 2, 28, upon all flesh. Upon who? Upon who? There is no discrimination in God. There is no ethnic racial discrimination in God. Romans chapter 10 said that God is rich towards all who calls upon him. It's not where you're coming from. People keep on telling you your background. No, your background is not holding you, brother. Your background is not holding you, sister. It is your ignorance to the truth of this God who is so rich towards you. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You shall dream dreams and see vision. Your young men shall dream dreams, they will see vision. Even on your maidens, your servants, will I pour out my spirit. You know, think about it. In those days, servants had no voice. But God said, I'm giving them a voice. I don't care how you look upon them, they will be fruitful. And then some of you who say, oh, no, you say, no, even in your old age, look at the word he used. You will dream. Why will God be giving you dream in your old age? Because the capacity to fulfill it is within you. Age is not a limitation. It is not. Before the God of heaven. Age is not. Or read your Bible. At 80, Caleb took a territory. At 80, Moses began his ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So fruitfulness is possible. The Holy Spirit is here. I said the Holy Spirit is here. I said the Holy Spirit is here. Therefore, no one can be fruitful or bring glory to God the Father without the person, the authority, the grace, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So when you look at John chapter 15, verse 6, Jesus says that if you remain in me, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 5, he says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So what he's saying is that the Holy Spirit who has come into you empowers you. So without the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. What's your relationship with the Holy Spirit like? What is this like? Is he a visitor to your life? Or is he in control? Is he seated, empowered, enthroned in your life? In every sphere of fruitfulness, the Holy Spirit is required. Amen? In every sphere of fruitfulness. There are two ways, or three ways, actually there may be four ways, but we're going to look at a few of them, by which the Holy Spirit work enables and empowers you unto fruitfulness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power after that the Holy Spirit is done what? Come upon you. And you will become witnesses. Or in other words, you will become fruitful. Hello? Will you now restore the kingdom unto Israel? No, don't worry about that. You've got assignment to do here. You're not going to heaven yet. That was the answer. Those are the things that are in the hands of the Father to determine. But as for you, you will receive power. Amen. After that, the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you will become fruitful and witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So the Holy Spirit foremost is an empowerer. He empowers you unto fruitfulness. He empowers you unto righteousness. He empowers you unto holiness. He empowers you unto godliness. The Holy Spirit is not a tool. The Holy Spirit is not a tool. The Holy Spirit is God who comes to walk with you. You don't use the Holy Spirit. He uses you. Amen. He's not a tool in your hand. You are a vessel in his hands. Allow him to break you. And allow him to mold you. And allow him to fill you. And allow him to use you. That is the process. He comes into you and he cannot break you. Jeremiah chapter 18. I saw the Lord saying to me, go down to the potter's house. And when I went down there, I saw the potter walking in the wheel and declared that he was walking mud or got broken in his hands. Your brokenness is not that you become useless. Your brokenness is that you are about to be refashioned into a better, more useful, more glorious vessel. So when God is walking in you, breaking you, it is in view of where he's taking you to. Amen. It's not a disgrace. Uh-huh. It's not a failure. It's not that God is silencing you. It is that the vision he has in mind for you, he needs to get you ready to where you can become that whom he uses to fulfill it. When he breaks you, he fills you. When he fills you, he will use you. Because there is no one who is useless in the hands of God. There is no one in this kingdom who has no part to play. It doesn't matter. God is still in the business of making people and using them. Fruitfulness is possible. It is possible. So the Holy Spirit empowers you with divine abilities for fruitfulness. And that divine ability is called dunamis. Dunamis is a Greek word, and we're going to focus on that today briefly. Dunamis. The Holy Spirit also empowers you with what is called grace. 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 Paul speaking, he says, this grace was given unto me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ unto the Gentile. He was so fruitful, man. That guy was so fruitful. He was so fruitful that he knew when he was going to die. Oh, I prayed that for me. He knew when he was going to die, and he was not afraid of death. He said to Timothy, I have finished everything. What is left now? My life is to be poured out as an offering. Come on, people. This man was going to heaven, and he was going so gallantly. Gallantly. He finished his work in spite of everything. You're going to understand that the power of grace is that grace allows you to triumph in the midst of difficulties. You will be fruitful even when everybody else around you is dying and withering away and not being able to move forward. Grace, 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 grace. The Holy Spirit empowers you with gifts. So he empowers you with dunamis. He empowers you with grace. He empowers you with gifts, or gifts and talents. And he empowers you with anointing. These four levels of empowerment ensures your fruitfulness in every sphere of life. You are anointed to succeed. You are anointed to overcome every demon that is facing your life. You are anointed to conquer. The anointing makes the difference. The anointing breaks every yoke. It is a limitation breaker. When a man is anointed, his story changes. Go and ask Saul. He was a tall guy, but nobody knew him. His height never gave him prominence until the oil dropped on his head. When the oil dropped on his head, the story of the tall man changes. He became the king of Israel. And people say, is Saul still? Is Saul even among the prophets? Yeah, he became one. Why? The anointing is a distinguisher. In this season, the Holy Ghost will anoint you with the oil of distinction. If there is a believing believer here, I need you to shout a believing amen. Amen. There is an anointing that distinguishes you. It picks you from your father's house. Go ask David. A young man following after sheep was anointed. And the next thing, he found himself in the palace. The next thing, he is killing a giant. There is something an anointing does for you. A guy who was nobody. He was a deacon in church. By virtue of the anointing, the Holy Ghost transported him. Not witchcraft. Godcraft. Transported him. Finished his assignment with the Ethiopian eunuch. And he vanished. He went to Samaria and turned the city upside down. A deacon in church. A deacon. A deacon. When the anointing locates you, your age becomes irrelevant. When the anointing is operational in your life, you can be 13, 12 years, but you lay hands on the sick and they are healed. The anointing, it is an empowering capacity that the Holy Ghost brings that allows you to be fruitful. Your mind begins to work in dimensions that is not earthly. You see things that people don't see. You understand things that people don't understand. When things are happening, you are at peace. And you're wondering what's wrong with you. Nothing is wrong with you. The anointing settles your heart. And you know without a shadow of doubt, God is in charge of this matter. And I am here. It will be taken care of. Somebody shout a believing hallelujah. So you have all these things, not you will have it. I want to say that again. You have all these things. Not that you will have it. You already have it. It's in you. It's in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. And there is nothing I've mentioned here that he has not given you already. Hallelujah. So Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power. The word dunamis. 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 And we're going to focus on that today. Biblically, power or dunamis conveys the idea of divine abilities within an individual that enables him or her to accomplish and execute extraordinary things that are thought to be impossible for such a person. Dunamis enables you to accomplish extraordinary things that people looked at you and say, you can never do such a thing. They counted you out. Are you with me? When they were thinking of people who have the capacity to do such, to succeed in that way, to have such a result, your name does not come close to their mind. But by virtue of the dunamis, Acts chapter 4, verse 7. In Acts chapter 3, we saw two fishermen, illiterate, uneducated, with no bachelor's degree. They do not have a master. They are not registered nurses. They are not PhD holders. But they have been with Jesus. And they had just received the Holy Ghost. And they came to the gate called Beautiful. And they found a man who has had a sickness for 48 years. That's not his age. But for 48 years, he's been in that spot. And they looked at him. They said, "Silver and gold we don't have. But such as we have, we give. Come on, people. Jesus, help me." Where is the Holy Ghost today in church? Where is this God, the Spirit, by whom and through whom the apostles turned their world upside down? Gideon asked the question, where are the miracles? And I asked that question, and the Lord says, because my people have not realized who they are or what is in them. They say, "Silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we give unto you." In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Instantly, power flew, dunamis moved through their hands into a broken bone. And he stood, the man stood, and started praising God. Started praising God. Started praising God. The first miracle God did through me, I was in the Bible school. Young man. We had gone to a village for a crusade. The pastor there was so old in ministry, and these are people who feel these small kids have nothing to offer. He didn't want us to preach. He didn't want to give us any platform. He didn't even want the church to acknowledge our crusade. We begged him. The first night, God healed a 16-year-old child, deaf and dumb, boom, miracles. Cripple walked. A blind guy saw. A man who has been demonized by the spirit of madness, God delivered him. By the time we left that town, a revival began. Dunamis, age is not a limit. Power moved. And the Bible says, the man leaped and started praising God. Now look at it. Look at it. Look at it. When you use your giftings, praises arises unto God. When you are fruitful, God is praised. And in chapter 4, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they called Peter and they said, "By whose power?" My pastor, by whose power? Because the Bible said they have looked at these men that they were uneducated. By whose power did you do these things? And they say it is by the power of Jesus Christ, the one you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. People of God, dunamis is at work in you.
Amen. There is no difficulty you cannot overcome. There is nobody you don't have the capacity to love. There is no one you cannot forgive. There is no one you cannot walk with. In your workplace, there is nothing impossible to you. Allow the grace and the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost in you to come alive. Dunamis. Dunamis. Divine abilities and powers that causes you to do extraordinary things that nobody ever thought you could do. Dunamis. Dunamis also in the Bible talks about inner strength of mind. And it conveys the idea of a moral quality, inner strength of mind, and carries the idea of an inner quality that distinguishes an individual. In other words, by virtue of that power, your character is a distinguished one. People see you and they see something different. They see you, they see God. They see you, they hear God. When you talk, they hear God. The way you carry yourself brings about an aroma of God in an environment. Paul says we are the fragrance of Christ. Wherever we go, this is by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is not of our own strength. This is not of our own ability. This is the Holy Spirit at work in you. Child of God, the Holy Spirit is not a tool in your hand. You are a vessel in his hand. He works in you, through you, to bring about glory to Jesus Christ. Inner strength of mind. Meaning that you are not a person who easily fails in your mind. You don't just cave in. When things get going wrong, you just cave in. No. You withstand the storm. You sing your way through. You praise your way through. Song arises in your spirit. Grace comes forth within you. You find the ability of God at work in you. So this morning, in the next few minutes that I have, I'm going to consider a few biblical examples of how dunamis is at work in you and how it relates to your fruitfulness. Remember that the Holy Spirit empowers you through dunamis. Powers you through giftings and talents. Powers you through grace. Empowers you through the anointing. We're going to look at all those, but let's consider briefly this morning how the empowering grace of the Holy Spirit called dunamis. Power. Child of God, power. Power answers things on earth. Power answers things everywhere. Power ancestors all over. You see, when you understand the workings of power, you no longer live in fear. Amen. Power. Power that changes things. Power that raises the dead. Ephesians chapter 1, it said the same power is at work in you. That raised Jesus from the dead. Power. Power that conquered hell and death. Power that breaks limitations. Dunamis is at work in you. And it leads to fruitfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. Because of time, please write down and read them. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. I once knew a man whom I do not know if it is in this body or outside of this body, who went to heaven and saw things that cannot be expressed and may not be understood over here. And three times have I besought the Lord concerning this thing. And he says to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And in your weakness, my dunamis is made perfect. It manifests. So dunamis, God said to Paul, I hear you about the thing you're crying out to me for.
But there is power within you that causes you to still be fruitful in the midst of your challenge. Paul had an infirmity. I don't know what it is. Some say it was a sickness of the eyes. And he came to God 3 times about this issue. And the Lord's answer to him is that there is power within you, Paul. And with that power, you are able to be fruitful in the midst of what you're dealing with. What is it saying to you? That extraordinary grace of fruitfulness is available to you to give you mental and emotional stability in times of difficulty. Extraordinary grace and power is available to you to give you mental and emotional stability in times of difficulty. And through this power, you can face any situation. You can overcome any extreme difficulty. Through this power, you can bear fruit in the midst of seeming impossible times. Child of God, you see, the idea of throwing in the towel and becoming unfruitful because life has presented the way it presented is not of God. Read your Bible. Everyone who has been fruitful triumphed in the midst of difficulties because the power at work within you is such that makes it impossible for you to die by what kills others. It is such that makes it impossible for you to become one who is overpowered and overcome by things that the enemy throws your way. Paul did not stop his ministry because he had an infirmity. Paul kept on pressing forward. He was not in prison yet. He went, continued his ministry. What is it that you're giving up on today? What is it that you are quickly giving up on because of the challenges? Jesus says to you this morning, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect. My dunamis is perfect in your life. You can do it. You can succeed. You can triumph. You can achieve. Matthew 25, and I'm going to end with that. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. I'm not going to read it, but it's a story of the talents. God gave them abilities and empowered them. But as we know, only 2 actually used that power. The other one went and healed his talent. So what we see here is that by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you, God has empowered you with uncommon wisdom. Say with me, uncommon wisdom. Say it again. God has empowered you with uncommon wisdom and grace leading to financial fruitfulness. So every believer has uncommon wisdom, uncommon grace, that when you tap into it, financially you'll be okay. Because God opens your eyes. The Holy Spirit in you does 2 things when it comes to financial empowerment. Number 1, he inspires you and gives you ideas. Inspiration and divine ideas. And number 2, he bestows favor on you. So by the power of the Holy Ghost, you are inspired. Your mind is quickened to something. You come to the realization of things that are uncommon among men. God shows you solutions to the challenges of life. And not only does he do that, he gives you favor. No matter how good your idea is, without favor, it will die. Favor is what leads to fruitfulness. Favor is what allows your ideas to become a reality. Therefore, through the power of the Holy Ghost, you are favored to succeed. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. You have to tap into the inspiration of the Holy Spirit within you. and tap into the ideas that the Holy Spirit is giving you. Tap into it, and allow the wisdom of God to flourish through you. When that happens, you will abound unto fruits. You will abound unto fruit. Favor is with you. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you glory and honor as we begin to expand and to look deeply into this truth. Open our eyes, open our mind, that we may be able to understand the truth. Not only understand it, but that we may apply ourselves. To you be the glory and honor, for only you stands glorified in this house, in this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout a believing amen.